Welcome everyone here again tonight in Jesus' precious name. I'd like us to know that this single summit is not an attempt to have another program. You all know how intense our schedule is and has ever been. This has come out of very, very deep burden for the number of young people who at times appear stranded when it comes to marital issue. I'm saying this so that we can take this sacrifice of time and attention to you very seriously as we trust God together to get testimonies from these meetings. I want to speak tonight on the subject towards a marital future. Towards a marital future. My objective is twofold. First of all, it will be preparing towards a marital future, or preparing for a marital future. What we need to do in preparation. Number two, it is identifying one's life partner. Identifying your life partner. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." If you have the Revised Standard Version, it puts it very, very well. "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans of welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." God has a future for everyone. Spiritual future, career future, marital future. There is not one person, not one child of God who is futureless. So all we need to do is not struggle for that future. It is to prepare for that future. You package yourself for that future. You prepare yourself for that future. Now, what is part of my preparation for my marital future? Number one, be a God-first person. Now, I'm talking to Christians. For the unbeliever, anybody can just go and find somebody to marry. But I'm talking to Christians. Be a God-first person. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, marriage things, husband, wife, children, all these things shall be added unto you." Let your most important priority in life be spiritual. Let the spiritual be priority. You don't get born again today and the next thing on your mind is marriage. Let your most important life's priority be spiritual. It's not possible to seek God first and not get what others seek. That's my story. I made God my pursuit, my wife the same. And God decided to cause the thing that others struggle for to come to us effortlessly. Be a God-first person. If there is anything people should know you with, they should know you with your devotion to God. They should know you with your no-nonsense stance. They should know you with your spirituality. Number two, be a kingdom servant. Meaning, be given to kingdom service. Be given to kingdom service. You can put that in bracket. Be a kingdom servant in bracket. Be given to kingdom service. Exodus 23:25. And he shall serve the Lord your God. Sorry. And he shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. You can't talk of children without marriage. He jumped the marriage one. For him, the marriage is guaranteed. What I want to talk about is children. You won't be barren. You need to marry before you have children. So if God is saying, if you serve me, you will have children, it means if you serve me, marriage can be a problem. Hallelujah. Serving me makes marriage a walkover. God gave me the grace to locate my wife in the place of kingdom service. We're in the same university, the same medical students fellowship, and so on and so forth. You cannot serve me, and who to marry be a challenge. I want us to know that service is a covenant. You serve the Lord, He blesses your bread, He blesses your water, and all the things. Be a kingdom servant. Number three, possess the right vision. Genesis 13, verse 14 to verse 15. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. What man sees determines what God gives. Vision is possession. There must be an identification in your spirit for who your wife will, what your wife to be will look like. What your husband to be will look like. Not just physical look. The kind of package you are trusting God for. Write a vision. Make it plain. Habakkuk chapter 2. So, point number one. The kind of man I'm trusting that I see myself marrying is someone like this, is someone like that, is someone like this. The kind of husband I see myself marrying is someone like this, is someone like that. You draw it from the depth of your spirit. You draw the vision from the depth of your, from the center of yourself. You put it in writing. Because if you don't know what you are looking for, you won't be able to identify it when you meet it. One day, this is a very, very, very touching story. A young man, very, very confused. Came to me and talked about marriage. I said, can you tell me the kind of vision of person you want to marry? He outlined the vision 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, outlined it like that. And in a flash, I saw the person in the physical that is on his vision paper. I said, look at so-and-so person describes what he just wrote here. He said, that is true. But he didn't have it written. But the story had a detour because he went to the person. He said, God is leading me to you. I just feel led by the vision I have that you are the right person, and so on and so forth. And the person's friend talked her out of it. They convinced her. The young man didn't look big then. Young upcoming man. They talked her out of it. This is almost 28 years now, thereabout. That girl is still unmarried today. Her friends that talk to her are all married. The man went ahead to marry another person. You see? The other person he married didn't work well. Double tragedy. So it is very, very important that you possess vision. Lord, as a matter of fact, God will put in your heart the person meant for you. Deep, call it to the deep at the sounds of thy water spouts. So out of the depth of that heart, you identify, present before God. We'll come to that shortly. And then, you can trust God for that identity of the person. So possess the right vision. Don't just be moving about and just, can this be the one? Can that be the one? Can this be the one? No. Let it be clear. What is not clear to you is never there for you. Many people live by chance, so they enter one chance. One chance marriage. Number four, be friendly in disposition. Talking about preparing for the marital future. Be friendly in disposition. Anyone that will have friend must show himself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You show yourself friendly. Marriage is the highest level of friendship among men. Marriage. That is a man and wife. What they call boyfriend, girlfriend is shadow compared to what true marriage is. And you must show yourself friendly. It's not saying you must be laughing about for everybody, but you must at least be friendly in disposition. Be a nice person for anybody to hang around. This has nothing to do with I am choleric, I am sanguine, I am this. It has nothing to do with that. I am melancholic. It has nothing. It has everything to do with your spirit-filled nature. It has everything to do with being in the kingdom. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You are be the kind of person that somebody wants to hang around with. There are many people who drove their husband to be away by their unfriendliness. There are many people who drove their wives to be away by their unfriendly disposition. That is why one of the best relationships that can be created, that can happen in a marriage, is the relationship between people who are like friends already. They are in their own, in their world and realm already. In their elements when they are with each other. Permanent frowning is not synonymous with spirituality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Too much tightness of face does not necessarily connote focus. Hallelujah. I am highly spiritual by God's mercy, but very, very jovial. Around with my wife, with my children, with everybody, I will just be dropping bombs around and they will be exploding. Hallelujah. So be friendly. Possess a friendly. These are all preparation. Many of us are too tight and too tense. Soften up. That tightness and that tension is further worsening things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What number are we? Number 5, be productive and enterprising. Be productive. Be enterprising. That was how Rebecca found a husband. Genesis chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, and a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. This was an enterprising girl, a productive girl. At the place of such productivity and enterprising spirit, she found husband. Jethro's daughter, the same thing. In Exodus 2:16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their flock. Verse 16. These were the girls that came to water their father's flock. Enterprise. Productivity. They were not just hanging around and lounging away. In the course of that productivity, they met the man Moses, who was to become the husband of one of them. Don't forget that people are watching you. They are watching you. In the village in those days, men found wives. When they saw how they farmed and how they did things, how energetic the woman is, and vice versa. Nobody wants to marry a liability. Nobody wants to marry a lazy person. Be productive, be enterprising. You may, in the course of your enterprising effort, or in the course of your diligent effort, run into someone who won't let you go. Be productive. Be enterprising. Number 6, be responsible. Be responsible means have the ability to rise to occasions. Be responsible. The ability to rise up to occasions. Enterprise is talking about doing something with your work of hand. I mean, you are just there, hard working. But being responsible is being able to rise up to the occasion, where you don't wait for people to do things before you do them, the things that are necessary. We saw that in the life of David, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and in verse 26. David spoke, he said, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Everybody was there, wailing away. But David rose to the occasion. He rose to the occasion. And I'm sure you remember that part of the package is anybody who killed this man, the king will give him his daughter. I'm sure you remember that. I'll come to that shortly. Anybody who will rise to this occasion. Anybody who will rise up to the occasion. That was verse 25. I'll come to that when I talk about the next point. The same with Joseph. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 to verse 8, Joseph came to the butler and the baker in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him, in the word of the Lord, have said, wherefore look ye so sadly today? It wasn't his business, but he saw a need, he rose to it. He rose up. What was the outcome of that? The outcome of that was that he interpreted their dream, they freed the baker, the butler. The butler mentioned him to Pharaoh. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh gave him his daughter. All I'm saying to you is tied to marriage. Pharaoh gave him his daughter to marry. Pharaoh gave him his daughter to marry because he was responsible. David married Saul's daughter because part of the reward for pulling down Goliath. Moses married the daughters of Pharaoh for their enterprise and hard work. Rebecca found a husband in Isaac. Hard work. Are you hearing what I'm saying yesterday? That it might appear trivial. Because there may be a lazy person that is praying till kingdom come. Someone who will not rise to occasions. A young lady from Nigeria, a medical doctor, went to the UK for a wedding. A man also from Nigeria also went for the same wedding. The young lady was there in the kitchen cleaning everything, just walking while others were watching. And this young man from Nigeria said, who is this girl? The host or whoever was there said, it's a girl from Nigeria. It's a medical doctor. Say, yeah, I found my wife. From Nigeria, he found his wife in London. At the frequency of responsibility. Responsible people do what others avoid. Responsible people move where others mope. Responsible people deploy themselves into an assignment where others deploy themselves onto enjoyment. Be responsible. All the things I have said so far are things that will directly link you. Be a God first person. Be a kingdom servant. Be given to kingdom service. Possess the right vision. What you see is what God gives. Be friendly in disposition. Be productive and enterprising. Be responsible. That is, possess the ability to rise to the occasion. Number 7 is connected to the last one, and that is, be a problem solver. Solve problems. Man, woman, just live your life. We are talking about preparing for the marital future. Be a problem solver. Joseph solved the problem for Pharaoh by interpreting his dreams. Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So Pharaoh promoted him. Now look at verse 45. As he solved the problem of Pharaoh and the problem of Egypt, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. He solved the national problem. And part of the dividends of that problem was a wife. What of David? 1 Samuel 17:25. David. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. I will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Somebody say amen. Those of us who came out at first, say a lot of amen. Hallelujah. There are many dividends in problem solving. But part of it, a portion of it, is getting connected to the right people. And that right person could be the right wife or the right husband. It may not happen like the exact way it happened for Joseph or David. But it happens anyway. That you solve the problem. And God connected your spouse, whoever, one way or the other, in the course of that assignment. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout aloud, miss, amen. Is anybody getting anything out of this at all? What number are we going? Number 8, which is the final for tonight, on this point, be a kind person. Kind. Your kindness can position you to connect with the right spouse. Be a kind person. Rebecca's kindness, we saw it in Genesis 24:17-19. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray you, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also. Until they have done drinking. Can you imagine? Young lady, not just drinking, giving a stranger water to drink, but feeding the camel. How many young ladies will do that today? Hello, please. I need your assistance. Yes. 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 Excuse me, please. Where do I know you from? Are you not 419? Even today, car stop for girl to pass. She just passed. Instead of saying, thank you all. Wait. Am I not a girl? You are supposed to stop for me.
That is why many of them marry themselves.
That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. Just make up your mind naturally. Be kind. Don't think, okay, they will misunderstand me, that maybe I'm trying to go after a man. It doesn't matter. Provided your conscience is clear and your motives are pure, it doesn't matter what anybody says. All you need to do is to exercise your conscience to be void of offense towards God and man. Somebody fell down, something fell down, is a guy whose pen fell down. Who says that because you are a woman, you cannot pick it for him? Those are little things that, oh, let him not say that something. Or I'm the girl, I'm the one they are supposed to pick something from. No. Be a kind person. I can tell you many things will change. The journey will be shortened for many if what I'm saying, be a kind person. Be a kind person. Be a kind person. Number, and then we saw the example of Moses. Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 17, we saw how Moses assisted, and the shepherds came to drive away the daughters of Jethro, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. That kindness that Moses exhibited, that kindness gave Moses his wife. Please don't be fixated on yourself. Don't be absorbed with yourself. Don't just be focused with yourself. Ensure you look beyond yourself and demonstrate as much kindness as you can. This kindness goes all the way with character. Hallelujah. Be a kind person. And I believe the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So what are the things we have talked about? Let's all read it together. Number one, preparing how to prepare for the marital future. Number one, be a God-first person. Number two, be a kingdom servant giving to kingdom service. Number three, possess the right vision. Number four, be friendly in disposition. Number five, be productive and enterprising. If you don't have a work, go and look for work. Do something. Number six, be responsible. Possess the ability to rise to occasions. Number seven, be a problem solver. And number eight, be a kind person. As we embark upon all of this, I prophesy somebody will be here in the next meeting that will put these things into practice. Into practice. One by one in detail. You will be here in the next meeting with your testimony. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, congratulations for hearing these things. Because you are returning back with results. You are returning back with results. You are returning back with results. Give the Lord a shout of praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Next question is, how do I identify the person? How do I identify the right person? Identifying the right person. If I'm going to get married, what do I do in identifying the right person? Number one, commit your objective to God at the place of prayer and watch out for His direction. Commit your objective, marital objective, to God at the place of prayer and watch out for His direction. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 6. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways, marital ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Give me another translation. Put all your hope in God, not looking to your own reasoning for support. In all your ways, give ear to Him, and He will make straight your footsteps. The reason why we must allow God to direct us is there are things that may look perfect outside, but are imperfect inside. There are good containers with terrible content. The person looks fine and nice outside, but terrible. In fact, in some cases, the person may be okay for today, but you don't know what they will turn to tomorrow. Am I communicating? Haven't you seen some nice-looking people today? And then later on, you are wondering, is this the same person? So commit it to God. Number two. Identify the person that aligns with your vision of a life partner. Who is this person? This is my vision. What I see in a man. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 told us to write the vision. Make it plain. 2 verse 2. You wrote it down. Trusting God for a spirit-filled man. I'm trusting God for this kind of person. I'm trusting God for somebody who is a career person. I'm seeing someone who is a self-employed businessman. I'm seeing someone who is a minister of the gospel. You know, today, I see some people come and they say, I've seen a man who says he wants to marry me. I said, okay, what does he do? He is a pastor. And then I ask, did you have a vision of marrying a pastor? He said, no. Okay, so how is this? He is a pastor. But in your vision and thinking before now, being the wife of a pastor is not part of your schedule. And then some people just step in like that. And vice versa. I've seen a woman married a medical doctor who became a pastor. And for as long as they were married, she was a rebel. You know what she said? It's doctor I married, not pastor. That marriage broke. That man died. Another one said, I married pharmacist, not pastor. So it's very important from the depth of who you are. Don't just look for husband. And don't just look for wife. So that you don't just manage to survive. Live well. Live out vision. Don't just live life. Live out vision. So it's important to identify that person that lines up with your vision. With what occurs to you in the center of yourself. Then along the line, she was not planning to marry a politician, but a politician came and she just married. It wasn't in her vision. And then challenge started tomorrow. And vice versa. The woman is practically unable to cope with the challenges of a pastor's wife. In case you don't know, ask Dr. Ms. Enenche. What it means to be a pastor's wife. The counselings. The confrontations. Those who wish they were in your position. Who will pass by you and not greet you. But they will shower greetings on the husband. And some are not, they are not ready for anything. The pressure of ministry, they just caved in because they were not wired for such. It was just that husband came and they married. They don't even have character of pastor's wife. They talk to church members anyhow. They stand like Standard Bank. They can never bend or genuflect for anybody. No humility, nothing. All the spirit-filled things that a pastor's wife has inherently, the real pastor's wife, they don't have it. No patience. Husband just came, they went. And I'm using that as an example because it can apply to every other thing. My husband is a lecturer. The person coming is a lecturer. Really? Inside your mind, did you wire your mind to work in an academic environment? Those kind of things. Two people came, and the man said he wants to relocate abroad. The woman said, I don't want to go abroad. Isn't that opposite of what many people want? I want to stay here. Then when it comes to getting married, that's why the two visions must align. So identify with the person that aligns with your vision of a life partner. Number three, identify the person to whom you are naturally, lovingly attracted. Naturally and lovingly attracted. Love that is real, genuine. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8, God is love. So you know what God is doing where love is involved. Marital direction can be said to be almost perfect if that love is perfect and authentic. I once asked one sister who was in a relationship with a man. I said, do you love the man? She said, I don't know.
I say, you don't know, then go and pray about it. If you don't know that you love the man, then there is fear for the future. Shortly afterwards, she came back and said, the relationship did not work. I knew it couldn't work. She got into another relationship. She's married. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Anybody you are going to marry, man or woman, should be people you love deeply. Love that is not conditional. It's not based on whether he has money or he has no money. It is not a hinge, because the conditional things can be attacked. If you went to him because of money, if he doesn't have money anymore for any reason, that is the beginning of challenge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Authentic, genuine is just there. You love it. Like the Bible says, David loved Jonathan like his own soul. Where you love this person almost like, you know, some demonic people think that David and Jonathan had a relationship. No, that kind of, you know, that kind of thing. Because he loved him like his own soul. Is that kind of love? Is that kind of love of Naomi and Ruth? Where from the depth of the, and it doesn't have anything to do with even, well, you will appreciate the physical look of the person. You know, in those days, people say they are afraid of asking God for who to marry, in case God showed them who they don't like. Do you understand? Look at your neighbor and say, it is impossible. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. It is not possible for God to lead you to anybody you cannot appreciate. God knows you more than you know yourself. So he knows what you like. He knows you more than you know yourself. He knows what you will appreciate. He knows what you will value. He knows what you will like. Do you understand what I'm talking about? No. God. So that should be out of the question. And part of what God will use to show you the person is that love that is deep-seated. Identify the person to whom you are naturally and lovingly attracted. Number four, very important. Identify the person with whom you get along naturally. This person you get along naturally. Where you are friendly with a person, you are not even talking marriage yet, but you are arguing all the time. And that is not a direction to think at all. Anything you say, is the other person misunderstands. Anything you say is misunderstood permanently. With whom you naturally get along. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 said, How can two walk together except they be agreed? So the person that you already have agreement with, you seem to understand each other more than you understand any other person around. Do you understand what I'm talking about? God is already giving you very, very great sign. My challenge is that people will leave that kind of person and go and start something with somebody they don't understand nothing about, and somebody they are trying to see if they can work out something. I don't understand that kind of mentality. You left your river and went and be looking for water in the well. No. Struggle to. So who are you? So where are you from? So what are the things you like? So what are the things you don't like? There is somebody you knew each other since. You don't need to ask the person what they like or what they didn't like. It's known to you. You turn your back on such a person in search of a new person. Because some human beings like novelty. They want something new. Identify the person with whom you get along naturally. Getting along with the people, with the person, understanding yourself is natural. All those are handwritings on the wall. Number five, identify the person whose thought gives you peace. When you think about the person, you think about the future with the person, all you feel is peace. Crisis does not cross your mind. Anxiety does not arise. Palpitations don't arise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. The peace of God, which passeth. So the peace of God is like a referee to show you whether you are in the right direction, whether you are doing the right thing. When you lose your peace, you know you are in the wrong direction. When the peace is there, you know, identify the person whose thought gives you peace. Number six, be on the lookout for guidance and direction from the Lord. Guidance and direction. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 14, Romans chapter 8 verse 14, the Bible said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit of God leads us. I've heard of people who have had the leading and they've had the name of the person they are to marry at the place of prayer, even in the course of the service. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Is that what he said? This is what? 1 John 5, 4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He had been praying for a wife, and all of a sudden, that word victory stood out. And he realizes that there is somebody called victory in his vicinity. And it will not leave him. That statement will not leave him. That word will not leave him. Victory will not leave him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, 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 joy. Joy is, joy is coming. Joy is coming. You know, it can be anywhere. It can be, and God can use different things. And I don't know, maybe somebody may be thinking now that I'm advertising because maybe he has a joy in mind or a victory in mind. Can come in the dream of the night. A man told me how that God was showing him his wife. Then he saw a dream in the night where he saw a lady, but the face was covered. And then he prayed and prayed and kept on praying. Next time, the face was uncovered. And he saw the girl is the daughter of a pastor, a minister, who is their next door neighbor. That was what he saw. And that was, he went for it. They've been married now for almost 26 years. That was how he saw peaceful rest. It can come in that form. It can come. Whatever way God talks to you, it may be peace of mind. You just feel at peace. You just feel this conviction. You just dreamt in the night. But when it comes to dream, it should be confirmable with all the other things. Because dream, when you think of anybody too much, you will dream about them. You hear what I'm saying here today? You will definitely dream about them. So you have been eyeing a brother or eyeing a sister. And when the eyeing continues in the night, you just dream that you are marching to the altar. No, that was not a revelation. That was imagination that went into the realm of the dream in the night. Hallelujah. So this is very important. So all these other revelations, let them be confirmable. There are times where people can say they claim that they saw somebody for you. Again, that is a bit tricky. All that should be confirmable with your own conviction. No matter what anybody feels about who they think you will marry, since they will not live in the house with you and the person. But if they will live with you, no problem. So they can help you handle the challenges that arise. Do you understand what I'm saying? And please, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked. If you marry the daughter of Satan, your father-in-law will visit you during the marriage. If you marry son of devil, don't be surprised. Because in-laws have to visit the house. When mommy was talking about the man who sold his wife's girlfriend's laptop to buy her wig. Chai, guys are bad. I told my daughter at the back, I said, if you marry a thief, you may give birth to pickpocket. little thief, thieflet. That is the first challenge. You marry a thief, eagle give birth to eaglet. Thief give birth to what? Thieflet. Praise the Lord. But very, very soon, we shall celebrate like 50 weddings at once. We have done up to 20-something weddings at once. We shall celebrate like 100 weddings at once. And many, many more. And your own will be among it. If yours will be among, shout the loudest, amen. If yours will be among, shout the loudest, amen. So be on the lookout for guidance and direction from the Lord in the various ways that I have mentioned. Number 7, despise not divine orchestrations and placements. Divine orchestrations and placements. Don't despise it. Despise not divine orchestrations and placements. And what do I mean? Psalm 37 verse 23. Psalm 37 verse 23. The Bible said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord will guide your steps to make you meet the one. The Lord may, if he chooses that way, to order your steps to make you to meet the one. That is your husband or your wife. Jethro's daughters were steps ordered to meet Moses. Rebekah's steps were ordered to meet Abraham's servant. Am I communicating at all? The young man I talked about, his steps were ordered, and the medical doctor's steps, both of them jammed at the wedding in London, and they got married. We had a program in New York 2 years ago where we did 8 hours in God's presence. And where one of the pastors said, keeping Americans for 8 hours is a bigger miracle than raising the dead without food, without tea and coffee. Black-looking young man, was in that meeting in New York. His major, he has been praying for a wife for long. And he came to that program still with wife as his focus. Now, he testified, I think it was in Houston. He testified recently. And he came. As the program ended, he was going. A young lady was trying to snap herself or something. He just told him, I said, please, can you help me? Just take a picture of me. He snapped the girl. With the background of the program. He snapped the girl, snapped her, and gave her the phone. Gave her her phone or something. and then started going. The Holy Spirit, said the Holy Spirit told you, are you stupid? You have been praying for wife, you have seen your wife, you are walking away. He said he had it. So he turned back and said, excuse me. So how are you? They started talking. They are saying numbers. That was how physics led to chemistry. Then after marriage, it led to biology. Hallelujah. That was divine orchestration. Help me. Other people may have passed. She didn't ask them to snap. It was the right person at the right time, at the right place, on a strange ground. There are people who say, I'm busy, please. I'm so sorry, I'm in a hurry, please. They would have gone how many cycles still looking for a wife. You will not miss your divine orchestration. You will not miss your divine placement. You see, most times God will position around you what you are looking for. Wife, husband, necessary, relevant people for your destiny. Most times, He will position them around you. Don't despise it. Lord, is there someone around me I am to see I haven't seen? Open my eyes. Is there somebody who is to see me and hasn't seen me? Open their eyes. Despise not divine orchestrations and placements. And finally, number 8, despise not the days of little beginnings. Dr. Mr. Nature spoke about that briefly. The days of little beginnings. This is very important because at the end of the day, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice. If you don't despise the small beginning today, you will rejoice tomorrow. Am I communicating? The person you want to marry now, maybe the person that everything is intact, but he's not living in Asokoro, he's not living in Metama, he's not living in Wusetu, he's not living in a posh duplex. But he is very spiritual. He also is loaded with vision. He has passion. He's very enterprising. He's responsible. He's loving. He's smart and sharp. Even if he had one trouser and one shirt, you will never catch it rumpled. You won't even know it's only one dress he has. But he doesn't have enough resources yet. Don't despise such small beginnings. I was a medical doctor, The only house I had when my wife and I married was a medical doctor quarter that two people shared. Two people shared it. The furnishing, the bed, everything in that quarter was of the hospital. But at least it had all of that. There was no car and none of those things yet. But we married like that. And in a short time, everything began to roll in. You don't assess how we look today to decide that until somebody look like that, you cannot marry them. If you want to use some of us as yardstick, like checklist for who to marry, the journey may be long. Except if you are dealing on character issues, spiritual checklist and those kind of things. And it's not, you are not talking of resources. But ensure that people who drove potential young men away, just go. And then 2 years later, this same boy is now commanding millions because he's so hardworking and his mind changed, his life changed. And somebody agreed to marry him. And you now begin to envy the person because you were the person to marry the person. I heard someone who said, if somebody has a bed, one bed, and he has two chairs in the room and a table, he is good to go. And he has a work he's doing. Whether he has a paid work or he's working with his hands, he has a source of income. Good to go. He said the two chairs is for your in-laws. Once they come, the father will sit on one chair, the mother will sit on one chair, your wife can lay on the bed or sit on the bed. You can sit on the floor to correct your head. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But like Dr. Mr. Nature said, nobody should marry looking forward to the income of the wife. That is parasitic existence. Don't do that. Don't let anybody start suffering from the scratch because he married you. Man, I'm talking to you. If there are anything that you feel makes you not able to marry yet, don't rush. If you have potency problem, potency. Because that's one of the major challenges that people say. They have to try the man first and vice versa. Because people have had experiences where they married and they won. They are moping at each other. They two, they three, they four, 1 week. What? Who is this? I realize that we married placebo. Medical doctors understand what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've seen a marriage that lasted for 8 years. The young lady entered the marriage and found out that the man is not potent at all. She remained there for 8 years and said, you know what? In fact, in the first place, this is marriage based on deception. You didn't tell me the true picture of who you are. If you did, I won't agree. She walked out. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Don't step into anything trying for anybody to manage you. Let the true picture of things be clear. You have anything positive in your system like hepatitis, let it be known. It is possible to bring a hepatitis to a level where it is non-detectable. And if it is undetected, it is untransmissible. So neither the wife nor the newborn baby will have it. That can be addressed before the marriage is finalized. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Instead of trying to shield some things that must be known that will help decision. So this is very, very important. But you will do well. And anyone who have anything like that in their system, I declare they are healed. Now, so when you are trusting God for healing of things like that, let the healing manifest first. Potentially, let the healing manifest first. Don't marry with the hope that I will be healed in the marriage. Let it manifest first. Potency is needed. Why? Because after a while, parents are looking out for pregnancy. Not knowing that there is somebody there. And at times, the girl is too shy to tell anybody. I've seen many people who can't tell people what they are experiencing. There are some I can't even talk about. But it is well. You will do well. Have you learned anything tonight? Is this time worth it?
Alright, how to know the right person? Let's go over it one by one. Number one, commit your objective to God at the place of prayer and watch out for his direction. Number two, read it with me. Identify the person that aligns with your vision of a life partner. Number three, identify the person to whom you are naturally and lovingly attracted. Number four, identify the person with whom you get along naturally. Number five, identify the person whose thought gives you peace. Number six, be on the lookout for guidance and direction from the Lord. And we have spoken the most of direction. Number seven, despise not divine orchestrations and placements. And number eight, despise not the days of little beginnings. Combine the first aspect of this preaching with this second aspect. I trust God with you that will have perfect results. Starting from tonight, you will begin to see the results. Stand up on your feet, everyone. Give the Lord a praise, if you will. How many of you are here tonight, you believe will hear your testimonies? Because of the time, and we're also preparing for Command the Day Midnight Prayer, we are going to pray two prayers very, very fast. Please don't go until we are done. Lift your two hands and thank the Lord for what you received tonight. Say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father,
thank you,
for your word,
to me tonight,
the
glorified Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, for changing my mind, with your word tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and speak to God. In the name of Jesus, lift up your two hands everywhere you are and pray this prayer after me and say, Father, tonight I receive the grace to identify your will for my life, to walk in your will for my life. I receive that grace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray.
in the name of Jesus.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Dr. Mr. Major, you join me forward. We're going to lead again in a renouncement prayer. Against ancestral curses, spiritual relationships, soul ties. There are people who have hidden fears. Maybe because of the kind of home you came from, the marriage did not work and you are afraid, so you are mortally afraid. And that blocks you. Some have limiting character challenges. I'm going to pray and reverse that. If there is anyone here tonight who has not come out for the first altar call, you can come forward here. Maybe you have an addiction to break and you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Pray this prayer after me and say, Father.
Father.
Those coming forward, please do so. Say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today. To surrender my life
to
your leading, your guidance, and your direction. In the name of Jesus. Father, I am here today to renounce every ancestral curse, every generational curse, every anti-marital curse, every spiritual relationship, spirit spouse, spirit children fighting my marriage, every ungodly soul tie, I renounce, I reject today. Every hidden covenant, unbroken covenant, with the powers of the waters, with the python spirit, I reject today. In the name of Jesus, every limiting character, limiting my life, limiting my destiny, I reject today. In the name of Jesus, I receive your help. I receive your mercy to do the right thing. In the name of Jesus, I receive my release from these limitations today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
We pray for you together today in the name of Jesus. As you have renounced and refused these limiting forces, we declare that their hold is now broken from your life in the name of Jesus. We declare today what stops others in your family will never stop you again. We declare today the spell of delay is over. We declare the wisdom for right choices. We declare humility. We declare receptivity in the name of Jesus. And we declare today that those things that makes your relationship spoil, like premarital sexual relationships and lack of communication abilities, is hereby destroyed in the name of Jesus. Receive the strength to say no to sin and to maintain your relationship successfully till your marriage is concluded in the name of Jesus. We declare it done. In Jesus' name.
So shall it be.
Amen.